In Luke chapter 1, verse 17, Elijah, he speaks about the spirit and power of Elijah. The power of Elijah. There you have the same word in the Greek as we have here translated as ability. Now, what is Elijah's power? Did he sort of generate this power in himself? No. When we speak of the power of Elijah, we mean God's power as functioning in Elijah. So fundamentally, the power is God's. But it is the power of God in Elijah, and therefore it can properly be called Elijah's power. It's been given to him by God. It is, in a sense, truly his. And so here we have this word, according to each one's power, each one's ability. Now we said that this is not something predestined, that God somehow predestined some people to be able to have 5 talents and predestined others to 2 talents. That is not scriptural teaching at all. The scriptural teaching is indeed that every person can rise to the level of Elijah and have the power of Elijah within himself. What is the determining factor? To answer this, let us look for a moment at Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Let me read to you Romans chapter 4, verse 20. And this is what we read here. No distrust made him, that is Abraham, waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith, and he gave glory to God. Now the words, he grew strong. Now here, as I say, you cannot really expound the Bible without knowledge of Greek. This is the reason for it. The words, he grew strong, is in the original of the same cognate that this word translated as ability, the same word as the word translated as the power of Elijah and so forth. They're all the same word. And this word, en dunamo, means increase of power. Abraham, in the face of the challenge of the reality of Sarah's barrenness, which would seem to make God's promise impossible that his descendants would be for multitude as the sand of the sea. Yet, having God's promise, Abraham did not waver concerning the promise of God, as we told here. But he grew strong by faith. The word in faith or by faith, same thing in Greek, doesn't make any difference here. Instrumental in, instrumental dative. He grew strong by faith. Now this power then comes through faith. This point is made very clear. Acts chapter 9 verse 22 has exactly the same thing. In Romans we have it as relating to Abraham. In Acts chapter 9, 22, it relates to Paul, and it reads like this. Here, Paul has become a Christian, and his name has not yet changed to Saul, from Saul to Paul. Soon he was going to abandon the name Saul. But when he became a Christian, he met the strong opposition of the Jews. But Saul increased all the more in strength, and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. Now this word, increased all the more in strength, translated in this whole long thing, translates exactly the same word that we saw just now in Romans chapter 4, verse 20. En dunamo, from dunamis. That is, he grew strong. Saul was growing strong. He didn't start out that strong, but now he was increasing in strength through faith. And this point goes on right through the New Testament. You'll find that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, for example, where Paul says, I can do everything through him who strengthens me. There you have the same word again in the original. Who increases my strength. God increases my strength so that I can do all things. Paul's confidence in God is limitless. Paul is totally confident that God can do anything through him. Therefore, he can do anything through God. Now, that's the kind of Christianity we need in the church. Now, when your faith is of that kind, your faith is such that your strength increases through faith, then God can entrust more talents to you. You see, very easy to understand. He entrusts more talents to you. Now let us come to the central part of this parable. Last week, we saw the parable, in the parable of the maidens or virgins, that the whole thing hinged on the matter of the extra oil. The whole parable had to do with the extra oil. The extra oil was what made all the difference. You see, the five virgins all had the lamps burning, and the other five, the five foolish and the five wise, all had their lamps burning. There was no difference in that point whatsoever. But the whole difference was that five of them, as you remember we were expounding, prepared for the age to come. Their extra oil was no use at that particular, in the present time. The extra oil only became useful in the age to come. The extra oil, that is where the whole thing mattered. Now, how we expound the picture, how we try to unravel the symbols, as it were, of this metaphor, is not very important. Remember the word more in this parable. The extra, the increase, that is the key idea here. And what this means is what we need to look at in more detail. Now, the virgins carried a lamp. As we looked at last week, the lamp, and the lamp of life, the light of life, the burning lamp symbolized life. In the Old Testament, that is in Proverbs, for example. When the lamp goes out, you die. When the lamp is burning, it symbolizes your life. When the lamp goes out, the person is finished, is dead. The lamp of life is extinguished. Now, if we follow in this picture, of course, the vessel then would represent the body. The fire would represent, the flame would represent the activity of a person who is alive. When he is dead, there is no more activity. The lamp goes out, the light, the fire ceases to burn. The oil then, which is critical for the burning of the lamp, would represent life. And so the picture would be that as the oil runs out, the life runs out, the fire goes out. It stops burning. If this is the picture that is understood in this in the parable of the virgins, then the extra oil would refer to life, an extra supply of life. Now, what this means does not mean life within themselves. This is very important, grasp, because that life is not within the, this oil is not in the virgins, as we saw. It is oil that they bring along with them. What does all this mean? Well, the Lord's parables, one has a way of explaining the other parable. And instead now of using the picture of the extra supply of oil, the Lord now changes the picture to talents. Let's try to see what this means. The picture here in the parable of the talents is virtually the same in the fundamental idea as in the parable of the virgins. What happens is this. They all started out with this being entrusted with certain talents. But what makes the difference, not at the present time, but in the time of the accounting, at the time of the judging, at the time of the judgment, is whether you could produce more. See, exactly like the extra oil, whether you had more. Now, if you have five talents, there needs to be at least another five talents. If you had two talents, there needs to be another two talents. And if there's one talent, there needs to be another talent. Because the last one did not have the extra, the more, he was in trouble. He is out into the outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. He is finished. That servant is finished. Everyone had to have more. You see the same idea. Can you see the picture? Is just the same basic idea. But now it's elaborated in greater detail. Well then, what are these, what does it all mean? What are these extra talents? How are we to understand the picture? To understand the picture, let us compare the parable of the pounds and the parable of the talents very quickly. Now, I have expounded on the parable of the pounds some 2.5 years ago, so I shall not go through that again. But simply to look at the difference in order to bring out the meaning. Now, in the parable of the pounds, it stresses one aspect of the spiritual life. An aspect which is evident to all of us. It's a matter of empirical observation. And that is that basically we all start out the same. Each person begins with 1 pound there. Isn't it? That's the parable of the pounds. Means everyone got the same 1 pound to start with. And this point is brought out in Scripture. What is the 1 pound compared to, for example? Well, in Acts chapter 11, verse 17, we read that we all equally have the same gift of life. The idea is that all are equal to start with. All get the same pound to start with. We get the same spiritual life. We get the same Holy Spirit. And there you have in Acts chapter 11, verse 17, which does not come out again in the English. The word same, in fact, is the Greek word for equal. There are different words for same in Greek. But this word is the word for equality, of equal value. The life of equal value. The Gentiles and the Jews now have life, not that you and I, the same life in the sense of being having a certain sameness, but of being equal. That God has treated each one equally by giving him the same Holy Spirit, the same life. This equal portion of life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, this same word for equal appears again. We have the same faith, the same gospel. And there the Revised Standard Version translates the faith of equal standing, quite correctly. The faith of equal standing. So we have, to begin with, you and I, we all got 1 pound. When you came to the Lord, you got the same pound as I got when I came to the Lord. You got the same life from the Lord Jesus. You got the same gospel. You got the same Holy Spirit. Equal with me. I with you. No difference. We all started out the same. And what strikes me time and again, as I've many times remarked, is, for example, as you are all sitting there, you hear exactly the same words as the guy sitting next to you. Everyone is hearing the same word that I'm speaking. You are hearing the same parable that the Lord Jesus is teaching. Now, how is it that from that same message and from the same word, you get one becomes a spiritual giant and another one drops out altogether? Amazing, isn't it? The word was no different. They listen to the same message Sunday after Sunday. Yet one becomes a spiritual giant. Another is a spiritual pygmy, a spiritual dwarf. And another one is completely out of the picture altogether. How come? Now there you have the parable of the pounds. The one person got 1 pound like all the others, and he ended up with 10 pounds at the end of the day. The other one starts out with 1 pound, he ends up with 5 pounds at the end of the day. And another one starts out and he ends up with nothing. He even lost the 1 pound that he got. That's true to life, isn't it? Very true in the spiritual life. Look at those who came to the Lord recently or baptized recently. Watch in 5 years' time. By that time, right now, they all look the same, right? But in 5 years' time, the difference can be very significant. 5 years from now, one is way, way ahead. Another is way, way behind, and some somewhere in the middle, you see. Yet it started out with the same thing. Did I hear a different gospel from you? No. I received exactly the same message. Did those in the training team have a different gospel or a different message? They got the same message. You see, the vital difference is in the difference of the response. And it is that which we call faith. The response. Faith is a response to God. And it is that response which determines the power, the ability, as it's translated there. The power begins to vary. And the difference between the power becomes wider and wider as time goes on. Paul describes this in terms of a race. You start at the same starting point, right? You all got on your marks, get set, bang, the gun goes. You all start from the same line. After a time, one is so far there and another one is somewhere in the middle and another is way behind trying to catch his breath yet. You see, you can describe that as a race. But now picture the situation. By now the picture should be clear. Let us say that in 1 month, one has made 10 talents, one has made 10 pounds, another 5. But then you have the parable of the talents, do you see? There you have it. Somewhere halfway between the starting point and the finishing mark, there comes the parable of the talents as a reality now. Because by that time, one has got 5, one has got 2, one has got nothing. There you have exactly the situation. You see, the person who has 10 talents, that he suddenly on the last day got 10 talents, he got 1 talent to begin with, he got 1 talent on the second day, 1 talent in the 5th day, 1 talent on the 20th day, and suddenly on the 30th day he got 10 talents, or 10 pounds. Now the difference between pounds and talents really doesn't matter in the least. There's no difference between, it's just a different figure of speech there. What matters is simply the same basic idea, that the number of pounds, of course, that the person had who had 10 pounds at the end was building up all along, right? So on one day he had the starting day he had 1 pound, the next day he might have a little bit more, and then by the end of the week he had 2 pounds, and then by the next week he had 5 pounds. You see, there it is. Now you may say, okay, but isn't it the 10 talents were all given to them as well? And in this case, they would be earning their 5 pounds instead of having it given to them. If you think like this, you have not yet understood the scriptural principle. In the spiritual life, everything is of grace. There is nothing in spiritual life that is not of grace. Remember what Paul said, I can do all things, but through him that strengthens me. So fundamentally, everything he does is of grace. It is through him that strengthens me. If you got the 5 pounds, did you do it of your own strength? No, it was of grace too. All the time he was enabling you. Or as Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 2, that God is at work within you to will and to do, but with our cooperation. It is your faith that determines how much he will and how much he will do in you. You see, that is the vital thing. Your faith is the determining factor about this. Now, here we must quickly come to a conclusion. We see then that after a period of time, so first, the parable of the pounds really indicates what the Christian life is about at the start. The parable of the talents has to do with something further along in the Christian life, where there has been a continuing increase of power and things have begun to change. God is entrusting more and more to you. Did God entrust all that to you when you first started? In a sense, prospectively, yes. Maybe right from the beginning, your response to God was fuller. But in some cases, people responded poorly at the beginning but changed completely afterwards and had a very full response. You see? So the parable of the talents really describes something further along the Christian life than the parable of the pounds. Yet whatever we have of the increase is all of grace through faith. Now this also means that within the church, of course, a gap widens out. And this widening of the gap is what makes a difference within the Christian life. You begin to have a stratification. You begin to have some emerging as spiritual leaders because of their increased spiritual capacity through faith. Others are further behind and some are non-functional at all in the church. There are many non-functional Christians in the church, unfortunately. Why? Because God is less kind to them? No, because their response to God is either very inadequate or non-existent. If these same people would now throw away their obstruction to God's grace and commit themselves totally unreservedly to God, they would have the same power as those who are presently the spiritual leaders or becoming the spiritual leaders.
You see?
God will be entrusting more talents, more responsibilities to you, more gifts to you. I have seen people who began with virtually inability to preach at all and said, that's no preaching material, you can't make a preacher out of him. And the Lord goes on and transforms them and anoints their lips and makes a mighty servant out of a person who was a very unlikely candidate in human estimation. God can do amazing things with each one. If only there is that response of faith to him without reserve, without reserve. If you don't believe what I say, just test it. Put my word to the test. Put the scripture to the test and see what God can do with you. There is nobody here that he cannot transform into a mighty man or woman of God. He can do marvelous things indeed. Let us then hasten to the conclusion. You say, okay, now I understand that there is to be the increase of talents, the increase, as it were, of life. Now, notice this, and it's very important in this talent, in this parable to notice it. If God has entrusted something to you, whether it be the pound or the talent, when he has entrusted his life to you, and on the judgment day, you're going to stand there and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for giving me eternal life. Now here is the life that you have given me intact. You see, here it is. I've kept it safe for you. You are in trouble, my friend. Anybody who thinks that he will be saved simply because he's got the gift of life and he can keep it to himself and he's okay will be in trouble. You have not understood the Lord's message yet. God gives us this life not just so that you can save your own spiritual neck, or that I can save my own spiritual neck. He gives me this life as a trust that I am his servant and you are his servant. If you have got that life, you are answerable to him for what you're going to do with that life. You've got to do something with life. Life is not there just for keeping. Life is something to be lived, something to be exercised, something to, you have to do it, something with it. If you don't do that, you are in trouble. So many Christians today, I dare not think what's going to happen to them on the judgment day. I dare not even look on that day. They are going to come to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me life. Now I have kept it very safe all these years. I haven't done anything with it. No. I've kept it very safe. Oh, yes, I was afraid I would lose it, you know. And then now I've kept it safe. And here, see, I still got it. And the Lord will say, depart from me, you worthless, useless servant. The word translated worthless there is useless servant. And you'll say, now, hey, Lord, what are you getting angry for, eh? Now, just keep your hair on, huh? I mean, don't get angry. Look, I'm giving back to you. You see, I know you're a hard man, you're a tough character, and so I kept it safe. You see, I was scared that this very thing would happen. Now, I'm giving it back to you. You will not get away with this. Because if God gives you eternal life, he means you to be a channel of that life, to pass it on to others, to live for others and for him. Now you begin to see why we quoted these words at the beginning. If Christ died for you, he died so that you will no more live for yourself and you live for him. Live for him means that you channel the life that he has given to you onto other people. Now think of it. How do you channel life? How do you have another pound, another talent? Very easy. When you draw someone to Christ and you make another person a disciple of Christ by his grace, by his power, does the life in you diminish? Do you have less life in you? Of course not. Now here's the wonder that happens. You still got the life and that one also got the life through you. Now the 1 pound, the one life in you has become 2 lives because you have brought another one to life. You have given him, you have been a channel of life to him, two lives now. Now if you bring another person to the Lord and he becomes a disciple of the Lord, that life that started out as one in yourself now becomes 2, now becomes 3, and then maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 10. Ha! Now you see what it means? Extra oil, extra talent, extra pound. There it is. That is the extra one. You've got the one still with yourself, right? Still in you, the life is still in you. Now there's another life in there. There's another life in the next one. Another life, all starting with you, transmitting the life to the next one. Parable of pounds and talents is very easy to understand. No problem at all. On that day when you stand before the Lord, you don't just say, Lord, you gave me life. You see, here I am. I've kept it safe in me. Oh, you are in trouble if you do that. No, no, you'll say, look at this one. And look at that one. Look at this one. Like Paul will say, who? Who is my joy and my crown? Paul says, you are my joy and my crown. You are the evidence of the life that is in me. Because you got the same life in you now that was in me and still is in me. Oh, the whole Corinthian church, the whole Ephesian church, the whole Philippian church. Well, how many pounds that Paul got? Eh? Oh, hey, this man has become a spiritual millionaire. What's going on here, you know? Can you grasp the message? Grasp it clearly in your mind. There is the message for you. Any person who thinks I will save my life, he will lose it. But he who loses his life, Paul said, the Lord Jesus says, for my sake and the gospel's, will gain it into eternal life. When you're giving your life to another person, when you are training him as a disciple, or training her as a disciple, you're giving your energy, your time, your sleepless nights, you're giving your own life. You're losing your life, but you'll gain it in giving it. But if you keep your life in yourself, and you're going to keep it to yourself, you will lose even what you have. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That is what he says. And what is more, not only do you lose what you have, you are in trouble. Look at the ending of this parable. What does the Lord say here? He says in Matthew 24 and 25, verse 28, so take the talent from him. If the talent represents the life that he gave to us, the pound, the same thing is true of the parable of the pound. If the pound was also taken away from that slothful servant, if that is taken away from you, you have lost it. You're finished. You have lost the life that was given to you. What else does it mean? And this point is confirmed perfectly and explicitly in the next statement. In verse 30. And cast the worthless, the useless servant into the outer darkness. Now, the meaning of that is not to be escaped. It is very, very plain. You see, in the Bible, life is always associated with light. That is why the Lord Jesus can speak of being the light of life. Light and life are always associated together. Where there is light, there is life. Where there is life, there is light. Always the two together. And this also means that in the Bible, darkness always has to do with death. Death and darkness in the Bible always go together. Outer darkness is the place of death. And in the spiritual sense, it is the place of eternal death as the opposite of eternal life. This is what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, that this darkness is reserved for the perverse sinners, the darkness of death. Weeping of gnashing of teeth is what they will do in that place of outer darkness. This is the place where the hypocrites go. We are told in Matthew 24 verse 51, just in the previous chapter, that that is the unfaithful servant will be put with the hypocrites. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. Now, where do the hypocrites go? Where they will weep and gnash their teeth? In Matthew 23, we are told twice that the place that the hypocrites go to is Gehenna, hell. In Matthew 23, verses 15 and verses 33, twice you have the word hell there, the place for the hypocrites. And that is where the unfaithful servant goes. Also twice in Matthew 13, in verses 42 and 50, that the Lord tells us that this place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth is the furnace of fire. That is why hell is often pictured as a place of fire, furnace of fire. Actually, it comes from the idea of the branches that were cut off. What do? You throw them into the furnace of fire, at least there to burn up in those places. And this means that the picture of darkness and fire, in fact, are one. The fire symbolizes the destruction in hell, and the darkness symbolizes the same thing. Destruction is the opposite of life. It is to be cut off from the life of God, from His light and from His life. It is total darkness and total destruction. Fire, the fiery furnace, the place of spiritual darkness. That is not a place that anybody would like to end up in. But let me say it again, because that's what the Lord Jesus says. If you have received the gift of life from the Lord Jesus, the gift of eternal life, this pound, this talent, whichever, talent representing the greater responsibilities later on, as we saw, but fundamentally still that life functioning in us, that unless you multiply it, unless there is going to be more, that when you are on that day before the Lord Jesus, you can be like the wise virgins with extra oil, the life that has been produced in others. And then the life, which will be your joy and crown, indeed it has to do with you too, but also the life that is represented by these increase of pounds or the increase of talents. You see, the one who had two talents, he had to bring at least another two. The one who had one talent needed to bring only one more, and he didn't even manage that. Which shows you there is a direct proportion between commitment and the end result. You see, think back one more time as we close. On what basis were the extra talents given? On the basis of the response of faith. If that is the case, then clearly the person with five talents was one with a greater response of faith. Therefore, as he grew in the spiritual life, he was entrusted with greater responsibilities, more gifts to do his work in the Lord's service. The one with two talents had also a full response, but not to the same extent as the other one. It is not surprising, therefore, that the one talent man in both parables is the one that fails. Both of them came just to get a pound, a talent. They produced no results, nothing, no more. You see, their commitment was already shown by the fact they were entrusted in the parable of talents with only one talent. Beware, therefore. Let me come back to this thing. I cannot overemphasize it. Check carefully your commitment to the Lord. What sort of commitment have you got? Can you honestly say you live for Him? If not, be careful, because if there is not more, if on that day you cannot say, look, here is the result. My son, my daughter has come to you. I have brought them to you. And look at my friend and those people in the church, this one and that one. The life has multiplied. The life that is in me has now multiplied in them and into the next one. On that day, they will be your joy and your crown. They will prove that they are your joy and your crown, because they are the ones who are going to be the evidence of God's saving grace and power in your life in such a manner as is acceptable to Him. And I pray that as the training team go forth, they will bear this message in mind. Maybe they have to labor with weeping sometimes, with tears as they give of themselves. But remember this, that as you lose your life, you gain it. It is in giving of yourself that you will multiply life in others. It is no easy road. It is a hard road. But it is well worth it. And you will see how worth it is when on that day you and I will stand in His presence and by His grace rejoice with unspeakable joy. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.